as we just heard, in this gospel reading, the Lord commissions the apostles to proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. And this got me to thinking about the nature of the proclamation of the resurrection. It is not meant just for human beings, but the whole of the created order is to be shaped and influenced by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We heard the other day in Mass, in the reading from Acts, St. Peter say that Jesus has to remain in heaven, and then he will bring about the universal restoration. Universal. It's not just people. It's the whole of creation. It's the whole of the universe that will ultimately be restored with the second coming of Jesus Christ. But for now, we are to be men and women who proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And this got me thinking about the interrelationship between us as human beings and the created order. Think back to the Garden of Eden. In the second chapter, the Lord says for the first time, after he's created the whole of the universe and said that it's good, the first time God says it's not good is it's not good for the man to be alone. And what does God then do? From the ground, he creates all of the creatures. He creates everything that will be in the Garden of Eden. And then we hear these beautiful words. So out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and they brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Do you see the interrelationship between the man and creation? It's beautiful. But this is not enough. Two verses later, we hear these words. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed the place with flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Gardens are key to the biblical story. The Garden of Eden, as we read of it here in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, represents the kind of relationship God intends for us to have with one another and with creation. Think of it this way. In the garden, there is order, there is beauty, and there is life. Order, beauty, and life. Order sets the garden apart from the wilderness. Its boundaries and designs establish it as a specific place unlike any other. Second, a garden has beauty. Think of the diversity of flowers and plants and colors and sizes, shapes that please the eye. Our secretary, Renee, had been in Victoria 2 weeks ago, and she'd gone to the Butchart Gardens. If you've ever been there, it's one of the most beautiful gardens in the world. And she said, they plant over 1 million flowers a year. Remarkable. The beauty of the garden. But a garden is also a place of life. Plants grow and bear fruit, and animals find their territory. A garden is a life-giving environment, a place where it's pleasing to live. So we have to understand this, beloved. This was God's desire for us in the first garden, that our lives would be ordered in harmonious relationships with him and with creation and with each other. He wanted there to be an integration of our souls and our bodies, man with woman, humankind with creation. Likewise, the beauty of the Garden of Eden was to celebrate the beauty of us, those creatures made in the image of God, so that we in turn would have an unending life with God. This is God's original plan for us. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it remarkable? But of course, tragically, because of Adam's sin, and it represents us as well, we have this tendency to reject the gardener, and order gives way to disorder, beauty to ugliness, life to death. Just think of all of the images of Ukraine. beautiful cities with remarkable buildings destroyed. Life leading to death, order to disorder. It's a tragic and real example of what happens in a world like this, and it is not God's fault. And often people will say that, why does God allow this kind of thing to happen? It's because we choose to reject the gardener. But here's the beautiful thing. The Garden of Eden gives way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord God begins the restoration of our relationship to him, to one another, and creation. In this second garden, and remember the word Gethsemane means an oil press. This is where Jesus is pressed to the point of death. And in Gethsemane, he began to set right the effects of our rebellion. He entered into the Garden of Gethsemane to undo the rebellion of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, look at it this way. He, Jesus, took upon himself disorder, ugliness, and death that sin had brought into the world. This is remarkable when you think about it. All of creation was ordered through Jesus Christ. All of creation, everything, the whole of the universe, and the one who orders everything experiences the disorder of a mock trial and the vacillating cowardice of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. He, who is beauty himself, was scourged and his body brutalized. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Good Friday, prophesied Good Friday when he wrote these words. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. And then thirdly, he who is life itself, and as Peter says in the Acts of the Apostles, is the author of life. The one who is life died within 3 hours of his being nailed to the cross. But here's the beautiful news. There is a third garden, the garden of the resurrection. The garden where our Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene, who had been possessed by 7 demons. What did those demons do? They disordered Mary's life. They made her life ugly. And they brought death upon her. But in Jesus, she found the one who brought order, beauty, and life and restored her. And so it's beautiful that in this garden, as St. Mark tells us today, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And I love the fact that over in John's gospel, she thinks that he is a gardener. Because you know what? He is. Jesus Christ is the master gardener. And this brings us to the fourth garden. The garden of your soul, the garden of my soul, and the garden of the soul that is St. Peter's Parish in Northwest Calgary. For you see, what Jesus wants to do with each one of us, he wants to enter by his grace and dwell in our souls as the divine gardener. Jesus Christ, the risen one, wants to establish within us the gifts of order, beauty, and life. And this is what he has intended from the very beginning. Order, to heal all of the divisions and discord within us that produce all of the discord and division outside of us. Beauty, to rid us of the ugliness of sin and grant us the glory of his children. And life, so that our hearts and our bodies might become lively and life giving. I love how in the Acts today, the religious authorities recognized these as common men, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. What happens to people who are with Jesus? Order, beauty, and life are restored. On Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene found him in the garden. He rose in a garden so that we in turn can find him within us, establishing his new garden of grace, so we in turn can go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation, because that is our Easter assignment. This is a beautiful story, isn't it? And nothing else can make sense out of life, because no one else is the author of life, only Jesus Christ, the gardener.